America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, welcome back. This is Newsfile, it's your most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfile, we put Ghana first. And here are some of your comments. Gary Sale says, from what I'm hearing, 10 SOEC CSOs, CEOs, salary can pay 1,000 teachers in Ghana. 1,000 teachers. It will pay more than that, my friend. Bansi Kadorema. Sorry if I couldn't get your name correct. It says, please, 4% and 7%. 4% and 7% is nothing. Look at where inflation has gotten to. Even the 7% crowd has not reflected. Kofi says, surprisingly, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission workers are not on single spine. Kofi Amwa says, there are salary earners whose total is even below minimum wage. I am sure the one to enforce adherence to the minimum wage is on minimum wage. Nyavo John says, in this country, it's job for the boys as usual, fixing square pegs in round holes. Ajimandria says, not only closer, other category of workers do take this allowance. It should be abolished. Safak 34 says, if in VRA, investigative journalism and other institutions, before you accept your appointment, you know there is some level of risk in the job. Does that prevent you from taking risk allowance? And then Thunderick says, can you imagine that CLOSAC members are taking less than $265 a month? What can this salary do Ghanaians in this economic hardship? The government is dribbling us like cooked spaghetti, rolling us over. Interesting there. A couple more of your messages. This is from Yakubu Ibn Chambers, and it says, I have always maintained that there is never a public problem without a popular solution. While these solutions exist, we must look at the practicality of same in the circumstances we find our country. The issue of labor wages must be tackled head on by all and sundry, whilst duty bearers are doing everything possible to turn the tide of low wages and conditions of service. No one must sit on the fence and watch. Well, thanks for that. This one from Manche Bruce in Takra, they says, civil servants have always been political in this country. Their political orientations have always been known. So why must we pay people an allowance only for them to pretend to be apolitical? I agree, public sector workers deserve better, but neutrality allowance will elicit more anger from other labor unions. Inconceivably annoying, he says. And I'll take the very final one. This one is, okay, I suppose I can end it here. Thank you very much. Let's go to the political projections for elections. And a couple of people have been speaking. Let's share their views with you before we go to our guest discussing this matter this morning. Evans Nemako, who is with the Elections Department of the NPP, Felix Kwachi Ofosu, has also been speaking, and Kobi Mensah, as well as Yao Boabeng Asamoah, have been speaking. Let's listen to them.
It is essentially political risk analysis, which guides the business decisions of some investors and other businesses. So it's important to get that point. The second point is that the projection they make about the outcome of the 2024 elections is what they call a baseline forecast. So it means that their minimum expectation that no matter what happens in 2024, the NPP will be thrown out of power. So that position does not depend on the candidates that the opposition brings. I am in the NPP, and I can assure you that all things being equal, President Mahama will be on the ballot box. But because of how abysmal the NPP has been, and the vastly superior record of the NDC, the Ghanaians are going to throw them out. There has no dispute about the modus operandi of the economic intelligence unit over the years. They have got some predictions right, they have got some wrong. But their predictions have never been based on scientific polling, like you find polling agencies doing. So that is a matter of fact. That
but do I find you cherry picking? Which one suits you?
The point is that there is what you can refer to as visceral gut feeling analysis. So that analysis is spot on. It is on all fours with both scientific and non-scientific forecasts.
This is a report that has come and we take it as an advice. We take steps as a party, notwithstanding the challenges we find ourselves as a country, to do what is needful. And I'm saying that winning elections is not dependent only on the report of the EIU. And I said that when we had won in 2016 and 2020, it wasn't because the EIU had produced report. Going into elections, Dr. Kobimensa is here. They produce report. It's to advise you on how to align your strategies. And I'm saying that come December 2024, the good people of Ghana will see and will decide whether the alternative as an NDC is empty or not, whether they will still see the new Patriotic Party as a viable government to continue with its developmental agenda or otherwise. And so for us, we are not really throwing away what they put out.
Mere change for the sake of change is not what this report is about anymore. Because if you say mere change for change, then it's the 8-year cycle at work. But now, they are introducing that element of the quality of leadership. You can't ignore that. So if you assume that anti-incumbency factors will kick in, what are the two opposition factors that they are putting on board positively to drive it? You walk away from the incumbent merely because you are dissatisfied.
But it is not saying that
policy agenda on the table. There is nothing.
But per your reading, did it say that if they did not change John Mahama, the NDC will not win?
But that's what the report says. The report says if it's John Mahama, it won't work. So they have to revitalize by getting themselves a new leader. And as you and I are speaking now, we know for a fact that the only leader they have at the moment is John Mahama.
The EIU report, frankly, is very weak in its assumptions because you don't even get an opportunity to understand the basis that they used for their, you know, assertions, for example. Obviously, when you read it, it tells you, it says that the MPP, because of sluggish growth, and then they refer to governance issues, they refer to low industrialization, they refer to, you know, these issues as prompting anti-government, you know, sentiment. As a result, the MPP will lose the election. I mean, frankly, there's nothing insight from this particular position. We know that in Ghana, most of the time in the 4 years, the 8 years, sorry, people have actually turned the other side. And the reasons why they would turn the other side is non-delivery, according to the people. And so they would change government. So there's no insight in that.
Right, so the London-based economic intelligence unit is also being credited for correctly predicting the outcome of Ghana's elections in 2008, 2012, 2016, and 2020. It does appear that both parties, the NPP and the NDC, want to take them seriously. Now, Let's begin. I suppose that we have also been joined now by Dr. Ransford, Professor Ransford Jampo. Thank you very much, Prof. Hello. You need to unmute your mic, Professor Jampo.
Hi.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Dr. John Osai Kwapong, who was part of the discussions earlier on this network, is also joining us. He's a political scientist, democracy and development fellow at the CDD Ghana. Professor Ransford Jampo is with the Department of Political Science, University of Ghana. We still have Dr. John Ampontia Kuma also with us, and Ambassador Sampiale is also still with us. So let me begin with Ambassador Sampiale. You are within the NDC, and certainly you are looking forward that the next attempt, after the two failed attempts, you will be successful. But this report suggests that if you will be successful, you need a different candidate, not John Mahama.
I do not think that that was what the report said. I've read the report. But Samson, honestly speaking, I do not think that the NDC as a political party is hinging its electoral success on such predictions at all. They may contain certain things that are palatable for the purposes of hearing them, but I know that winning elections is not just by somebody speaking to a group of people. It depends on whoever he even spoke with. But the truth of the matter is, ever since this matter came, the NPP had made capital of it. I was with one of their communicators, so after Jomama, let him come. We know how to deal with them. And I was just saying, one, the allegations that you put on John Mahama have all been verified, and most of them have been found to be untrue. Most of them have been found to be untrue. The Jida, whatever, Sada, which they recite as it is a poem, have all been proved that they were nowhere connected with John Mahama. And even when he had been, his attention had been drawn, he took steps to deal with the situation, including the most notorious Ford saga. You understand? I'm an ambassador. Sometimes they give me books for your country, and then I bring it to the presidency. The presidency puts it into the president the library. When the president is given a Ford, was the Ford given to him directly? It was given to the ambassador, who then was the brother of Dr. Bawumia. This Dr. Bawumia, his brother was the ambassador. The man said that he had done some good work with Ghana, and so he was given this to the presidency. The car was driven straight to the presidency, and it's still being used there. We use this as corruption against Mahama. Mm-hmm. So as for us, we are not depending on these predictions. You understand what I'm saying? Mm. We are going to set the track record of Mahama's 4 years against the NPP's 4 years of physical development, tangible development, you know, development that bridges the country to development. You are not going to depend on slogans. So, Samson, I know this company, this organization that did the predictions, is a very notable one. Very, very, very notable one. They may have gotten so many predictions right, but a prediction that I don't want to believe that they said, oh, if you change Mahama. We will not change Mahama for anything. Mm. We will not change Mahama for anything.
What they said was that they know that it's reported that, you know, President Mahama is considering running again.
Yes, he would.
Then they said, quote, but we expect the opposition NDC to try to revitalize its prospects with a fresh candidate. On the question of you winning, they looked at other their factors and said the NDC stands a reasonable chance of winning the elections?
So, Samson, there are two scenarios. As for the NDC, that's already won, according to the predictions, scenarios that you have been given.
It's a reasonable chance.
The second top-up is that if they change the candidate,
if you revitalize your prospects,
it means that you can even be higher. You understand? Mm-hmm. You can even be higher. But we are saying that the people who are making these predictions do not or have not taken account of the realities on the ground. They are holding all things being equal. They are saying all things being equal. What would change this election is the conduct of the Electoral Commission to conduct free, fair, and transparent elections. That is a critical part. What would change electoral fortunes in this country is the use of military to attack voters. What would change elections in this country is when laws are made for the elections and all of a sudden they truncate it and bring new laws, like what happened in the South, Santofi, Akwafulolobi. These are the things we should look at. But I'm not sure that they did any research in this field I'm talking about. I am saying that on any nice day, when all these protests I'm talking about are abated for a free, fair elections, Ghanaians know and Ghanaians would vote for John Mahama because they have come to believe that all the lies and fabrications put on him are not true. They talk about Black Stars going to World Cup and you carried money. We did the same in Rwanda, you remember? We did the same in Rwanda. Bass branding, that's what Mahama was said to be corrupt. The Bass branding, Mahama, the minister that did it, he has resigned. Just oppose that to the numerous corruption cases that we have been dealing with. So I am not sure, Samson, that the NDC will plan based on this recommendations. No. Mm. We will plan one by what we do at our branches. We will plan with what we train our polling agents to take note. We will plan how to monitor our own elections and even our own staff who are conducting the elections. So I don't have the energy to think about somebody's predictions or not. My energy as an NDC person is to make sure that the Election Commission does the right thing.
Mm.
You see, and as a democratic country,
on the question of the EIU saying that you should, it doesn't say that specifically. Let me read it again so that we don't get into any trouble. It says that the former president John Mahama is reportedly considering running again.
Mm-hmm.
But we expect the opposition NDC to try to revitalize mm-hmm. its prospects with a fresh candidate.
Why? Why are they saying that?
Now, in this same week, we have known through the Global Info Analytics, poll that suggests that within the NDC, the choices candidate for the elections is John Mahama, who beats his opponents by 57%. Dr. Dufour had 12%. In contrast with the NPP, where the Alan Chemanting led the vice president, Dr. Bawumia, by 36% to 33%. An earlier poll they did had the vice president getting 40% as against 28% by Alan Chemanting. So it does appear that there's no question that you will go with John Mahama.
Samson, I'm a very senior member of the party. And I can tell you, sitting here, that John Mahama will be our candidate. No two ways about it. Not that I'm disparaging others, but if you are a realist, you know what is on the ground. He's the one we have marketed. Some people are saying that we have done twice and lost. But Nana Akufo-Addo did more than how many times before he became the president? He is the one on whose project's achievement we are going to contest. Are you following what I'm saying? Mm. So I can tell you without missing a word that John Mahama will be our candidate.
Interesting. Let's go to Professor Ransford Jampo and then Dr. John Osain Kwapong. John Kuma, you wait for us. I want to listen to the two of them and then we'll hear from you, the side of the NPP. Professor Ransford Jampo, what do you make of this poll?
Thompson, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I read the outcome of the polls or the predictions.
Yeah, the prediction.
And yes, the prediction, not polls, the prediction. And as a researcher myself, who belongs to a unit in the University of Ghana, a department in the University of Ghana that also undertakes research, I was a bit uncomfortable with the predictions that have been made, and particularly the traction that we people, you guys in the media, you know, have given the, these predictions. My question is, who commissioned the EIU to undertake this study, and what is their motivation? To my mind, I think the EIU report in the near in future should not be given that much attention. It should not be seen as too topical to dominate discussions. I don't think that they understand the local issues better than we ourselves. Locally, we conduct better and credible research. And in my view, it is neo-colonial for all of us to have the penchant to follow such foreign research views whose methodological processes we don't really even know. I don't see how a Ghanaian-based research institution will go predict the outcome of a future election in the UK and be held or be given any media traction. And so I plead with you guys in the media that we should cherish our own and celebrate our own sovereignty by paying less attention to what foreigners come to tell us. We don't need them to come and set any local agenda for us. There are serious local issues. Times are hard in Ghana. There are serious challenges confronting us. I think we should spend time discussing some of these challenges rather than focusing on whimsical predictions of new colonial institutions.
Mm.
This will be my preliminary
They say that since their founding in 1946, they have been engaged in forecast of economic trends, political forces, and industry developments in every country in the world, and that they combine data analysis and forecasting to guide informed decisions by business and policymakers.
Well, we have come of age as a nation. We are an independent nation. And Samson, you agree with me that we've conducted our own research. If you come to the political science department, we've conducted several election studies and we've made predictions that have also come true. So my point is that rather than giving somebody's foreign prediction, somebody sitting in the comfort of his country and coming to our country to detect and predict for us to all follow, let us not put much attention there. If you want to follow any prediction, let us look within, because we have the capacity, we have the men, we have the people, we have the scholars who have what it takes to make more scientific and accurate predictions with some degree of certainty. Okay. And so for me, let us throw whatever they are saying away. Historically, research showed that people in transitional democracies are overly partisan to the extent that electioneering victory is more contingent on parties and less on candidates. Let's take note of this. Electioneering victory in many transitional democracies is more contingent on the parties and less on candidates. Over the years, we've seen that it is the parties that have won elections and not necessarily the candidates.
Mm.
That is why, especially in parliamentary elections, parties can field local champions who may be so incompetent, and yet they will win the elections.
The parties they belong to. That's why the conduct of primaries in political parties are more more expensive, and such primaries tend to be fiercely competitive, because the idea is that if you win the primaries, you may likely win the election because of the party. So research showed that it's only a few segments of the population who have tended to look at the candidates who are presented in determining their exercise of choice and voting. And so my view, which is a departure from the prediction, the critical prediction of the EIU, is that with or without John Mahama, the NDC can win the next elections. I am saying, and I'm not saying the NDC would win the 2024 elections. That is not what I'm saying, because we are yet to conduct study into that. What I'm saying is that with or without him, the NDC can win the next elections. And I'm cautious here because in politics, one day is like a thousand years. So many things can happen between now and 2024. So many things can happen that will make the ruling MPP or will position them as a credible political party to be able to break the eight. So many things can at the same time happen that would sort of make them less credible and warrant their being axed. Within the NDC itself, so many things can happen that would present them or make them be seen by Ghanaians as a credible and more fortified political party that can win, or that will win the next election. Or so many things can happen that can even force them to disintegrate, given the likely competition that is expected to ensue, you know, internally.
But as a political watcher, a political scientist, will you say that at this moment the NDC stands a better chance?
Well, the point is that if you predict now, you see, the predictions must be something that we can go home with. It should be something that we should all, I mean, if you are making predictions today and you know you are not sure that it's going to come to pass, then what is the value of it? So my point is, rather than tickling ourselves and laughing that at this chance, at this particular point in time, a political party is likely to win or a political party is likely to lose, and knowing very well that your predictions, you cannot hold on so seriously to your predictions, given the possibility of things changing. I mean, I would believe that we shouldn't go that route. I would believe that we should appreciate the fact that from now up to 2024, so many things are likely to happen. And so if you tell me that the NDC can win or is likely to win, and then at the end of the day, it doesn't win, what would you have done to yourself? So why don't we wait and conduct more scientific evidence-based research, okay, in the lead up to the processes of the election, so we can make predictions with a degree of certainty, rather than just basing our discussions and pondering all of us in somebody's whimsical predictions that take our minds away from what we are supposed to be discussing.
Okay, now let's hear Dr. Osei Kwapo's view on this prediction. And certainly, before that, Professor Jampo, the information about the poll that also says that John Mahama stands tall in the NDC, they should take that seriously, shouldn't they? Or you think they should be thinking about a different candidate?
Well, take note of this, that the NDC is yet to elect its flag bearer. Let's take note of that. And over the years, if you look at the competition between Atta Mills and his closest contender, if you look at the competition between Mahama and those who contested him, you see that Mills, Mahama have always given or gained resounding victory over their contenders. But we are going into a different competition, or another competition they will be going into another competition aimed at selecting whoever would be their flag bearer. Yes, it is true that he's a tall, or he's a great contender, he's very popular. But the point is that other people are also springing up within the political party who have also shown interest in contesting him. So what they do now, now and the time that their own primaries, you know, are held, is going to be determined. It is going to determine who will likely lead the party. Because take note that some of the contenders have started working. Even though they are yet to declare their intentions, they started working very well. And so it will be, you'll be living in a fool's paradise to let one of the contenders think that, well, you are in a comfortable lead, and then you may not be doing much, and then others may also be working very hard.
Former Finance Minister Dr. Kwame Adufo and Mayor of Kumasi Kojobunsu are the only ones we know so far. Do you think they stand any chance if John Mahama is in there?
They started working. I'm saying that at the end of the day, it's going to be dependent on what the delegates want. So he who is able to bet on delegates is the one who is likely to carry the day. He who is able to better convince the delegates is the one who is likely to carry the day. Okay. It doesn't matter who has taken the lead. Mm. It is he who is likely to convince the delegates. And so the point is that nobody should be complacent in this race, thinking that, well, somebody is a tall candidate and somebody is an underdog. Mm. I know many the candidates have started working on the delegates. Mm. And if at the end of the day, it is the delegates who are going to decide deciding who must lead the party, then nobody can afford to be complacent.
In a minute, what will you say about the projection for Alan against Dr. Bawumia?
Is that the EIU projection?
No, the Global Info Analytics.
Well, I've not read what you've said, and so once I've not read again into detail, I'm not able to comment on it. But
they did a poll in the 16 regions. They had done one some time back, and that one revealed that through that one, Dr. Bawumia had 40%. As against Alan Chiamantin's a paltry 20, I'll look for the figure again, just I think 27% or so. They have done this again, and from what they have done, Alan had done 28 then, Dr. Bawumia did 40% then. Now, what they have done, they say that Alan has 36% as against 33 for Dr. Bawumia. Alan Chiamantin won all the regions except the northern, northeast, upper west, and upper east regions.
Well, the question is, who did they poll? Who did they sample? The key people to talk to in deciding who must lead the ruling MPP in the next election are the delegates. You don't have the full complement of the delegates. And so you cannot just go and be talking to the air. You cannot just go and be talking to people who do not matter in deciding who must lead the MPP and then make any prediction. And so the point is that nobody should be swollen-headed. Nobody should take some of these predictions so seriously. What you have to do is to work on what matters most. Work on your delegates in the who would decide who must lead the party. And so I treat also the polls coming from this so-called info analytics with a pinch of salt, because I don't think that they polled the true people who are going to be deciding who must lead the party.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Osai Kwapong, what's your view of the prediction by the EIU and the local dynamics that we bring to the discussion from the poll that was done by the Global Info Analytics?
Thank you, Samson. Good morning. Good morning, Professor Jampo. So on the EIU report, I follow the work of EIU, particularly because I'm very interested in their democracy index. So that's my familiarity with them. If you follow how our elections have played out in the Fourth Republic, right, we seem to have been on this eight-year cycle. They make that baseline prediction on the back of the fact that there are certain things that make the incumbent unpopular, there are certain governance challenges, and therefore it is their reading that based on that, the NDC stands a very good chance of winning the 2024 election. I think if we put it within the context of some of the conversations we've had here and some of the ongoing political conversations in public spaces and the policy challenges, some of the issues belaboring this government. And again, within the context of the 8-year cycle, I think most people would be more inclined to say, you know, we are going to go back to this 8-year rotation again, and the NDC stands a chance of winning 2024. I am still a little curious, as I said this week, as to what informed the other line they threw in, right? They say, you know, NDC stands a reasonable chance of winning. But I'm just curious as to the basis for that extra sentence they threw in there, which was, we expect them to revitalize their chances with a fresh candidate. I don't know what is informing that. Now, on the back of the 2016 election, I had had a number of private conversations with friends and colleagues in which I said, if you look at the election results from 2016, both presidential and parliamentary, then for a party like NDC, I was saying to myself, well, maybe come 2020, they may want new national party executives and then a new candidate, give it a fresh look as they go into 2020. But since then, I have a different take on it. If you look at the outcome of the 2020 election, right, and if you look at how former President John Mahama performed in 2016 compared to 2020, I don't, and as I said this week, I don't think I share the view that they need to revitalize, whatever they mean by revitalize their prospects with a fresh candidate. I honestly do not by the proposition that, you know, he's not a viable candidate, not based on how he performed in the 2020 election. Yes, he may have, you know, he may have falling short of ultimate victory, but I just don't. I wish I knew the assumptions that went into why the EIU threw in that sentence. But that, for me, is still my initial reaction to the report. He faced a much. I mean, if you look at the incumbent in 2016, based on some of the surveys and polls that I looked at, he faced a much difficult political terrain going into election 2016. Compared to President Nana Akufo-Addo, if you look at the political terrain based on the polls and surveys going into the 2020 election. But 2024 is a very different position. And again, my position is that I just don't buy the argument that former President John Mahama is not a viable candidate. Mm. The Global Info Analytics Survey, as Professor Jampo said, is who did they actually poll, right? If they polled regular voters within the regions, then yes, that is the preference of who they would like to be each of our two major political parties. But when it comes to the presidential primaries, it's the party delegates who make the ultimate choice. So it will be very interesting if it were possible to poll the party delegates today and regularly until the party primaries are done, to see where the party delegates are thinking in terms of who they would like to their party to be led by. From every indication, it looks like or should I say, I wouldn't be surprised if former President John Mahama emerges as the candidate for the NDC to lead them in 2024. If you look at some of the key voices in the party, he seems to be the preferred candidate for the party establishment. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to beat back any competition that emerges for him to lead the party.
Mm.
On what the Global Info Analytics said about the MPP race, in terms of, you know, Vice President Dr. Bawumia leading at one point, and now the lead has shifted to Mr. Alan Chiamate. Again, if this were coming from the party delegates, that would be quite an interesting shift. But it would be very interesting to see how that primary plays out. I have a bias for establishment candidates. So that is why, for example, on the NDC side, I would prefer to keep former President John Mahama. And on the MPP side, again, because of my preference for establishment candidates and the investments they make in the party, win or lose, that is why I would see the delegates preferring and choosing the current vice president.
Mm.
But we still have quite a ways to go between now and the party primaries, as well as the general elections in 2024.
All right. But unlike Professor Jampo, you don't question the credibility of the EIU report prediction?
No, not at all. And as I explained, I've followed their work for quite a number of years now. I use their democracy index a lot. In the work that I do, so I won't be dismissive of them as an organization, even though I have some questions about the basis that informed that one line that we threw in their election 2024 watch, because they used that sentence in February 2021 and they still use that in March and April of 2022. And I'm very curious as to what assumptions is informing why they're saying that.
Mm. But do they have proper basis for the prediction they make?
If they had shared what those bases were, then it would be much easier to vouch for them, right? Something must have informed why they said that. If we knew that, then we could either defend them or we could discount some of those bases. If they had said that in right after the 2016 election or early 2017, I would have been more inclined to support that assertion because of how election 2016 turned out for former President John Mahama. But 4 or 5 years later, in 2022, it's not an assertion that I would lend support to.
They say that their baseline forecast is that ongoing public dissatisfaction with the slow pace of improvement in governance, such as infrastructure development, job creation, and easing of corruption, will trigger anti-incumbency factors and push the electorate to seek a change, unquote. Does it take any specialty to say this?
No, not necessarily, right? Any keen observer of the political space and political happenings in Ghana would pick up on some of these signals, and based on those signals would be able to say this spells doom for the incumbent, and this raises very bright prospects for the main opposition party, especially because we also go through this eight-year cycle, right? But a number of things that between now and 2024, for me, beyond some of the policy decisions that the incumbent government would make and the impact of that, there are a number of things that I will be looking out for from the public opinion side, which is the next Afrobarometer survey, the next survey that would come out from the Department of Political Science at the University of Ghana. But then I would also be looking for the National Commission for Civic Education, matters of concern to the Ghanaian voter,
right,
which would come out, you know, during the election year, because there are some questions in there that gives you some really strong signals on what potentially the election outcome.
In some 30 seconds before we go for our next break and then bring on Dr. John Kuma, what do you say to YK Ansayeboa, who says that, don't you think it is too early to be giving audience to any polls in 2022 for election 2024, when a lot of things can happen in politics in 2 years? So he agrees with Professor Jampo. He says, I believe there are a lot of pressing issues that we should be focusing on at this time, including political party funding, and not give traction to these polls or predictions at this time.
Thompson, I agree, right? But we also see that the next election begins on the very day that the last election is declared. So we have 2 years to go. That I don't dispute. But between now and when election 2024 happens, there would be quite a number of things that would keep popping up and rearing up in our political spaces. We can't totally ignore them, right? But at least you have to keep asking yourself, well, what signals are these early polls, you know, pointing to us? And I'm sure there will be more to come in 2023, 2024. But it's one of those, well, what are the early signals saying? And we can't completely ignore any early signals we get, even as we acknowledge the fact that 2 years is a long time to go.
Yeah, but the same question I ask Professor Jampo, who believes that this is the way we should be treating these things at this time. The same question I ask him, I ask you. Today, looking at this, our circumstances and how the NPP has run the affairs so far, from where you sit, does the NDC not stand a better chance today?
Yes, if the elections were held today, given my reading of all of the challenges that the incumbent is facing, yes. I think the NDC has very, very good prospects if the election were held today.
We'll take a break here. We'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Have you thought of where to get your dream home? Waylead is offering you a better option. Check out our exclusive all-detached house gated community. Sizes ranges from cozy 3 bedrooms to luxurious 5 bedrooms. We at Waylead are committed to providing you with the best building quality and value for money. In fact, we are the proud recipient of 2019's Quality Property Firm Award. Just like our homes, our payment terms focus on your need. Choose from installment up to 24 months without interest, or take advantage of mortgage up to 20 years. At Waylead, we build homes for you. Call us now on 0240111119 or 0504499999 to secure your dream home now. Waylead.
Greetings from Our Lady of Grace Senior High School, a Catholic primary senior high school located at Mampontein in the Ashanti region of Ghana, just 15 kilometers from the center of Kumasi. OLAG is a citadel of excellence because we have qualified and experienced staff, ultra-modern academic, domestic, recreational, and healthcare facilities, coupled with scholarship opportunities for brilliant but needy students. With our small class sizes and individualized education policy, we are able to help our students to become the best version of themselves.
By the start of WASI exams, almost everything in the syllabus from Form 1 to Form 3 was covered.
I'm proud to be associated with the school. I think it's the most beautiful school in Ghana.
Bring your child to OLAG, and you will never regret your day.
We urge parents to bring your awards to us, and we give them the best.
Good business means seeing the possibilities and maximizing opportunities. Making sure you have a responsive support system backs your business goals. A partner that gives you a stable platform with reliable connectivity and seamless solutions, and better understands the tools required to take you to the next level. With so many moving parts in running a business, we do our best to provide you with some stability. The only kind of stability you can find with MTN Business Broadband, the fastest and most reliable internet provider in Ghana, making sure you stay ahead and stay connected, because we understand what makes your business tick.
Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.gh or call or WhatsApp 0244-308-111.
MTN.
Hello, information.
Madam,
I have still not got the money for that list of expensive building materials you sent to me.
Madam, relax. I just visited IPCB, where the engineers told me everything about your Chasako first floor.
Chasako, please, those people are expensive. Are they not the people building those big houses in town? I beg you, don't
share
that.
In fact, I used to think the same way until I visited their office today, and they gave me an estimate of how much it would cost. No more. Is real.
Wow.
Visit IPCP, the Trasaco First Floor. Engineers will assist you build an affordable, faster, and stronger building.
Madam, it is done.
Trasaco First Floor. Stronger, faster, and affordable.
This is a Trasaco construction product.
Welcome back. This is Newsfire, Lesotho's most authoritative news analysis platform. And here on Newsfire, we put Ghana first. It's brought to you by Bank of Africa, as strong as a group and close as a partner, MTN everywhere you go, Ashesi University, educating ethical and entrepreneurial leaders for Africa, Robert & Sons Optical Services, your comprehensive eye and eye care services provider for 31 years, Waylead Properties, home is where one starts, Duraplus, where Duraplus goes, water flows. Trasaco First Floor, stronger, faster, and affordable. And my guests on the second segment of this discussion have been Professor Ransford Jampo, Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, Dr. John Osai Kwapom, political science scientist, democracy and development fellow of the CDD Ghana. Dr. John Kuma is MP, Ejusu, and deputy finance minister. Ambassador Sampi Yali is national president, NDC Professional Forum, Professionals Forum, and former ambassador to India, Sri Lanka, and others. Let's get to Dr. John Kuma. John, what do you say? What's the reading of the NPP about these predictions and the polls that touch on your internal, you know, arrangements? There's been such a huge number of the MPPs, including leaders, also giving a certain impression that it has to be Dr. Bamia, just like we see happening in the NDC.
Yes, thank you, Samson. And let me say special welcome to Prof. I think he just joined us, Professor Jampo.
Right.
And Prof.
You don't look for human beings. You don't
Prof,
look
I will. And Ambassador Sam PLA for the earlier contributions. You know, Samson, I remember this EIU prediction reminds me of one of our favorite lecturers on campus at the time, Professor Martin Usu, in the theater arts class. You know, he used to tell us a lot of stories.
Yeah.
And one of the stories he told us was about the Goths, the famous war between the Greeks and the Romans. And they consulted the oracle. Then this was the prediction of the oracles. The Greeks, the Romans, will conquer. Now, when this oracle came, the Greeks started jubilating that the gods have predicted victory for them. The Romans also started jubilating that this oracle said that they are going for victory. So depending on whichever way you interpret this prediction, EIU will be the winner in the end. What they are saying is that NDC has high possibility of winning, but the caveat is that they must change President Mahama. That is like telling the camel to enter into the eyes of a needle. And so clearly, the NDC is going to lose the elections per this arrangement. And in the end, EIU prediction came through. Assuming they win, which is what Ambassador Sampiale is interpreting that revitalization means, if they go with him, they will win less instead of winning more. So either way, they see a win. Assuming that happens, it's also EIU which is also winning in this interpretation. What I can confidently tell you is that looking at the standards that they refer to, the economy, corruption, slow governance, job creation, for me, these are very key elements that they touched on that I think the Ghanaian voter will be in a better position to compare these variables and see which of these two governments in their 8 years have done better. And I mean, I don't have any doubt in my mind that if Ghanaians, after 8 years of the NPP government, wants to compare both performance on the economy, in spite of the COVID that we have suffered, a government that grew the economy consistently over 7%. Even last year when we are rebounding from COVID, we have done 5.4%. And this year we are going to we may even do better. So if you compare our track record on the economy, I don't have any doubt that Ghanaians will definitely give another term to the NPP government. On corruption, Ambassador Piali referred to several incidents of perceived corruption with President Mahama and the NDC government at the time, from Woyome to Waterville scandal to Asofotun, Jida, and the famous Ford bribe scandal, which he referred to. I mean, if you give a Ford gift and then the giver ends up getting a 30 million euro contract, you know, which you go and commission and praise when they started developing potholes in the same year. So all kinds of issues on corruption on the NDC as far as President Mahama is concerned. And the issue of job creation, that is very key. And going forward, I believe that government's innovative response, which we have announced in the 2022 budget about the U-Start, going to be one of the biggest interventions of any government since independence, on allocating about 10 billion cedis in the next 3 years to address youth unemployment and job creation in the private sector through the banks, through NEIP, and through GEA, so that we are able to reach out to many young people, support them to create their own jobs, and expand the economy. I believe these are things that Ghanaians are going to see a lot of improvement and change. And so I will not be surprised that when the time comes and Ghanaians have to compare between NPP record of the 8 years and NDC record of the 8 years, they are definitely going to give another four-year mandate to the NPP. But that's my interpretation. But like I said, the Greek, the Romans will conquer.
Okay, so right, long ago, we knew where you stood, very long ago, before the 2020 elections. We knew where you stood as far as these two contenders in your party are concerned. These days, we have heard some of your leaders actually, you know, not hide the fact that they belong to, you know, a Bawumia camp. So what do you say to this poll?
Well, the internal NPP contest is yet to be decided in terms of the delegates. In fact, we have the constituency elections next weekend, and you don't even have a completely electoral college formed. So whatever anybody says now is just an expression of opinion. And when the right time comes and we are allowed to publicly state our positions, you all know where we stand. But if you look at the polls, it shows that, you know, the 20, 40%, 28%, I don't know about whether they left the rest for the other potential aspirants or their undecided voters. And then that's about 68%. It means we have about a third that have not decided on where they will go in our party. Mm. And then if you look at the current one, the 33-36, it also comes down to another a third of still undecided voters. So it should tell you that there is more room for work to be done. But even though I will not announce now, I know very sure how it will go. So I will leave that to myself for now.
I see. Yes. I see. But definitely
he's hedging.
Definitely the John Mahama is such a major threat to the NPP. You admit that.
Obviously. That is why I have stated that for a poll to predict that NDC must not go 2024 with John Mahama is like telling a camel to enter into the eye of a needle, because that is obviously what they are going to do. And they will do that because of his track record. He's been a former president. He did very well. Me, personally, he surprised me in the last elections. I didn't expect him to make the impact he did. So we will not underestimate what President John Mahama candidate poses to an MPP in 2024. But like I told you, he has a lot of baggage on his own record. And that is what positions the NDC as almost impossible victory with President John Mahama. And once we are done with our internal elections, we will let Ghanaians see the differences in governance, in record, in economic, and every level, and why an NPP government should be given a further term to continue.
Okay. And regarding what you were asking about what they had done with the other potential voters or views, you have Dr. Efri Akoto in there, you have Boache Jako in there, you have Dr. Kunedo Apreku in there, you have Kennedy Japong, you have Joe Gate, Francis Adai Nimo, Kwabne J. Japong, and yes, so they took care of those ones too. So some of the views would have gone either in favor of these other persons, or some people also said that they would vote for someone else. Right. So having listened particularly to Professor Jampo and, Professor Osanya Kwapong, what do you say about the position of the NDC as far as this prediction and the polls are concerned?
Well, I think that
I want to state that as for research, it doesn't matter where it was done or who is conducting it. But the most important thing is whether the people they interviewed are relevant. You know, like Dr. Kwapan was saying, if they had interviewed delegates, then the chances of their prediction being over average is okay.
So Kwapong and also Ransford Jampo agree on that issue.
Yes. So, like I'm saying, I don't downgrade that research at all. My nephew, John, Google now about corruption. You will find 12 unrelated corruption allegations against John Mahama. You Google and they had 106 cases of corruption documented on internet. So they should bring the that concept of corruption.
106 about what?
NPP. Corruption cases against NPP. So they should bring those cases on. We are ready for them. Samson, do you buy fuel with percentages? You go and buy, well, you want to buy fuel. Today, John Mahama left fuel, 3 cedis, 14 pesos. How much is petrol now? So, I mean, we are ready for the fight. I am saying that we, NDC, we are ready for the fight. We are ready to fight and also make sure that the institutions that are required to play their role, that i.e. the media, the Electoral Commission, the police, the military, and then even the judiciary, the role they are playing is not enhancing democracy. You know, when I'm going for elections, I want to go with a free mind that I'm going to have free, fair, and transparent election. Then I go in the queue, I vote, it's about time to be counted, then soldiers come beating and killing people. Is that the elections we want for a country?
Is that exactly what goes on? Soldiers just come in to disturb you without any cause.
Look at what happened at Ablekuma.
Right.
You are a journalist, Samson, and you have spoken about this. Even this morning in your take,
thank you.
You made reference to it.
Thank you. We've run out of time. Let me give Professor Jampo some 30 seconds. What should be the attitude of the two parties to these predictions and polls?
Well, thank you very much. I think that they should approach these predictions and poll with some level of trepidation. What is important for them to do is to concentrate on their real work of getting credible delegates and convincing them with what they think they would be able to do for the party in leading the party. And if you're able to convince the delegates, then they make you the flag bearer. Once you become the flag bearer, then you can also begin to approach the audience. And so it's not about somebody's principal prescription.
All right.
It's about what you do to convince the delegates.
Thank you very much, Professor Ransford Jampo, Dr. John Osain Kwapong, Dr. John Ampontia Kuma, and Ambassador Sampi Yale. Earlier, we had also on the show Dr. Kwabna Nyakun Otu and Godfred A. Bokwin, as well as Engineer Ben Arthur, CEO, Fair Wages Commission. I'm Samson Ladi Ayeni, and my outfit, as always, is by Habil's Couture. You can find them at Ajiringano Gate, East Legon, and the number to call is 0200-84-1988. 0200-84-1988. Have a good afternoon.